If you'd take out your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, we're going to start at verse 44. Matthew 13, starting at verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. I remember when I was pastoring at First Navajo CRC in New Mexico, some cars pulled up to the church one day, filled with relatives of the very first pastor of that church, Reverend Vanderwagen. And I don't think the family had been there and visited before, but they came that day in search of anything that maybe they could find that would tie their grandfather to the church and to its past. And I told him, you know, it's fine, look around the church or even in the barn and see what you can find, but I didn't think there would be anything. I mean, that was 100 years ago. And so about a half hour later, suddenly I heard all these yells, you know, these whoops and hollers, you know, like pure joy. And I went to find where they were, and they were up in the loft of the barn. And apparently they found a huge crate that had their grandfather's name on, great-great-grandfather's name on it, Vanderwagen. When that church was built, everything came by wagon train in crates. That's where all the materials, that's how it was all packed. And so apparently one of the crates survived, and my kids, they used to play on that crate up there, up in the loft, and they used to have a good time. We never paid it much mind. It was just a big crate, a big box. But to this family, it was pure joy because they had found something that tied their grandfather to that place. And you ought to seen them. They carefully took it apart, nail by nail, and they wrapped every part in blankets. I mean, it was just a crate. But to them, it was more than that because it meant something to them. You ever found a treasure? I never have. I think the closest I ever found to finding a treasure would be maybe in an old Anasazi ruin out in New Mexico, or maybe an arrowhead or something like that. Even an occasional dinosaur bone, occasionally. You know, when we were living in New Mexico, a friend and I, he was actually the pastor of an assemblies church, we used to go to the dump where when we were living in Fort Wingate. Back in the 1800s, there was a fort there for the Pony soldiers, and apparently they dumped all their garbage in the valley below the fort. And so my friend and I, we, after a good rain, we would often go to that area, and we'd look for old bottles and just all kinds of things that they would have thrown away 100 years ago. Sometimes we'd even find little brass buttons that came off their uniforms, and you ought to seen us whooping and hollering like we had really found something, and it wasn't really all that great, but to us it was. We had found a treasure. In this parable, the two parables that I read just a moment ago, Jesus is telling the story of two men who made some amazing discoveries. Whether these discoveries were unexpected or came after some diligent searching, both men discovered great treasures, we're told. And Jesus uses this as an analogy of searching for the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Nowadays, it would be pretty unusual to find a treasure hidden in a field. But before banks were common, people normally hid their money in and around their homes. And that's why you occasionally hear stories about people finding coins in a wall, maybe, or somewhere hidden in their home. This was especially true back in Israel's day, because they could be attacked by invading countries, nations. Often they had good hiding places for their treasure, for their money, for their things that were really expensive. The only problem was sometimes they would be taken into captivity, or people would die, and they never shared where those hiding places were. And so even today in Israel, sometimes they'll find treasure in fields or under old foundations, because that's where it used to be hidden. That's the only way they could keep it safe. That's what happened to the first man in Jesus' parable. He discovers a treasure worth a lot of money. And within seconds, he makes a plan. Because the treasure was so wonderful, the man was willing to sell all his possessions, everything he owned, in order to have that field where that treasure was. See, he found it, but he hid it back in the dirt again and acted like it wasn't there, but he knew it was there. And so I'm sure relatives and friends of his probably wonder why he'd be so insistent on buying this property, buying this land. But it was for a reason. He knew it was of great worth because of the treasure that was buried on it. In verse 45, Jesus tells his disciples another parable similar to that first one. This time, the treasure isn't found unexpectedly, but he's looking for the treasure. He's looking for pearls of great beauty or that were very expensive. In Jesus' day, pearls were often considered as precious as we might consider gold today. The price of pearls usually didn't fluctuate, even though the money would go up or down depending on who was in office or where that money came from. It would hold its value. I'm sure part of the reason people back then saw pearls as such a great thing to want to have and to own is because of how difficult it was to get pearls. You might have seen pictures of this, but in China today, they still do this. People will tie rocks on a rope and jump off a little boat into the pearl beds, which are usually about 40 feet down. So this is kind of a dangerous occupation. And they'd go to these oyster fields and gather these pearls up. And when they were done, they would let go of the rock and swim to the top. But you never knew what you'd find down there. There could be sharks, moray eels. You could get cramps. You might just run out of air and pass out. And so it was really a kind of a dangerous occupation. And so these pearls, when you found one, knowing what it took in order to find them, again, it was of great value. And usually that, like I said before, pearl price didn't go down. In Jesus' parable, when the merchant finds the most beautiful pearl he's ever seen, he sells everything he has in order to obtain it. He saw the pearl as being so priceless that he was willing to give everything he owned in order to make it his own. It was a pearl of great price, and we've often heard Jesus called this. What are some of the lessons we can learn from these two parables that we find in this chapter, Matthew 13? And I think the first one is clearly Jesus is teaching about the value and worth of the kingdom of heaven, about the worth of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus begins both parables the same way. The kingdom of heaven is like. And with Jesus coming, the kingdom of heaven was now something that people could actually obtain, not in its fullness, but they could obtain it, just like we can obtain it even now. And after someone enters into the kingdom, the reality of it begins to grow in their heart, it begins to grow in their life. And they in turn would spread the flavor of that kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, wherever they went, wherever we go. As agents of the kingdom, that means all its power and authority is ours. It's available to us, a gift from Jesus. That's why none of this is possible without Christ. His victory on the cross and over the grave, it opens a door to our being part of the kingdom of God, which means only by knowing Jesus can we enter into that kingdom. Can we make it part of our lives? In both parables, there was nothing these men desired more than the treasure that they had found. And just as these men were willing to give up everything in order to get these treasures, either an actual treasure in the ground or a pearl that somebody saw, they saw it as being worthwhile. It was something to attain. It was probably an opportunity that they might never have again. And so they, again, was willing to give up everything in order to obtain it. And so let me ask you this morning, how much is Jesus worth to you? Is he your pearl of great price? Or is he one of many treasures that you've collected? See, in Jesus, there's forgiveness. Forgiveness of all our sins. And in Jesus, there's everlasting life. In Jesus, we find everlasting joy and peace, everlasting love. In Jesus, we become sons and daughters of the King. In Jesus, we gain eternal life. His righteousness becomes our own. And so we have to ask ourselves, is there anything in this world that would compare to that? Would compare to Jesus and all that he gives us? You know, it's easy to say, Jesus is my treasure, but does it show in the way you live your life? Does it show how you spend your time? Or in how you use the resources that God has given you? When you think of everything that you have in Jesus, can you offer him anything less than your best, making him your first love? I think we've all heard on the news the last couple of weeks that Gene Hackman passed away. What kind of surprised me as they talked about him was that he died leaving $80 million. $80 million. Apparently, he had left it to his wife, but his wife had passed away a few days before he did of hantavirus, and because he had senility, apparently, I don't know what happened to him exactly, but a few days later, he passed away as well. $80 million. You know, if you were in your 80s and you had that much money and you knew you wouldn't have that long to live, wouldn't you want to give away some of your wealth? Maybe even half of it? $40 million. Give it to charity. Give it to churches. Give it to those in need. Give it to me. I mean, think of what we could have done with that kind of wealth. What a blessing that would be. But he hung on to it, which I don't know about Gene Hackman's faith or even the faith of his wife, but that they hung on to all that money to the very end makes me think to myself that maybe their highest treasure wasn't the Lord, but it was the wealth that they had in their bank account. A second lesson we can learn from these parables is that the coming of the kingdom of God brings joyful purpose. It brings joyful purpose. What happens to someone when they discover Jesus and recognize his worth and realize that he alone can satisfy them? Suddenly our lives have a goal. It has a purpose, right? Because we're living for something. It's when you don't have a purpose, that's when you get into trouble. That's when kids get into trouble and they can even end up in jail. It's not out of obligation that we strive to obtain the treasure that we found in Jesus. They joyfully work toward their goal because they see its value, they see its worth. We see that in the parable, and we also, I hope, can see that in our own lives. They found a treasure that was so great that they were willing to give up everything. Is that true for us as well? And the greatest treasure that we have is Jesus. Are you willing to give up anything in your life in order to obtain more of Jesus? To have him fill your heart? To satisfy you in a way that nothing else in this world can? a joy that is found in nothing else. Sometimes we get it so wrong, we talk about the sacrifice that we make for Jesus. But in this parable, was it really a sacrifice for these men to sell everything that they owned in order to obtain a field or to get that pearl of great price? It wasn't a sacrifice. What's the definition of a sacrifice? It's giving that expects nothing in return. Is that what they did? They gave all that they owned in order because they didn't want anything in return? No, they wanted a treasure. Something of great value. What about you? Are you willing to give up everything in your life in order to have the treasure of Jesus? Would you choose suffering and persecution in order to have more of Christ? This is why someone can give up their careers and go to a mission field and live in a grass hut among the flies and maybe eat things that you never ate before. Live among a people that is totally foreign to you, their culture, what they do. But you're willing to do all that. Why? Because of the pearl of great price that we've received in Jesus. You're willing to go wherever the Lord asks you to go because of what He promises you and what He's willing to give you. All those things I mentioned a minute ago, but most importantly, Jesus. That's the most important thing about heaven, right? Is that Jesus is there. And we're one day going to experience His love in a way that we've never experienced before. That's why you're willing to sacrifice so much. Jesus is saying the kingdom of heaven isn't about losing out. It's not about getting the short end of the stick. The kingdom of heaven is about making a killer deal. And we can all make this deal, each one of us. It's about making the best trade that you've ever made. The kingdom of heaven is about trading hell for heaven. It's about trading death for life. It's about trading temporary trinkets for eternal rewards, for something that will last forever. It's about trading bondage for freedom, about trading shame for joy, about trading rejection for acceptance. It's about trading your fear of emptiness for the love of Christ, which can fill us and make us content again in a way that nothing in this world can. While salvation is full and free and it can't be purchased, still it requires something from us, doesn't it? That's salvation. Christ demands that we give Him all of our heart, that we make Jesus first in our lives, we make Him our Lord and Savior, and surrender everything to Him. I heard a story about a little girl who fell in love with a string of plastic pearls. They weren't real. They were just plastic. She had saved up her money to buy these plastic treasures from a five and dime, and after she bought them, she wore the pearls everywhere. She wore them to Sunday school. She wore them to kindergarten. Wherever she went, she had those pearls on. The only time she took it off is when she took a bath or went swimming. The little girl had a father who loved her very much. He tucked her into bed each night, and he told her a story. One night when he finished the story, he asked his daughter, Jenny, "Do you love me?" "Oh, yes, Daddy, you know that I love you." "Then will you give me your pearls?" "Oh, Daddy, not my pearls, but you can have Princess, the white horse from my collection, the one with the pink tail, remember, Daddy? The one you gave me, she's my favorite." "Oh, that's okay, honey. Daddy loves you. Good night." And he brushed her cheek with a kiss. About a week later, her father asked her the same thing again. "Do you love me? Would you give me your pearls?" And every time she would offer to give him something else, a treasure of hers, but not her pearls. Well, one night, the father went into her room, and she sat there crying. He says, "Honey, what's the matter?" And she goes, "Here, Daddy. It's for you." And with tears, she held out her pearls to her dad. As the father took those pearls, he reached into his pocket and he took out a velvet-lined case. He actually had a pair of real pearls that he was going to give his daughter, but he was waiting for her to hand him those plastic fake ones, even though that she loved them so well. He traded her, and he gave her something that was way more valuable than she could have ever dreamt of. This morning, Christ is asking for your heart. Are you willing to give up the treasures in your life in order to have the pearl of great price, in order to have Jesus? You will be willing to do this if you see the worth of Jesus, if you really understand what we've received in Christ. Only when you long for him more than you long for the treasures of this earth, more than you long for silver or gold, will you be able to let go of the treasures of this earth. Unless you empty your hands of the stuff of this world, you're never going to be able to grab the hem of Jesus' robe and make him your own. I don't know what you're hanging on to today. I don't know what's of great worth to you. What's competing for your heart? Competing for your attention? Whatever it is, know that it's not worth what Christ is offering you, what we can receive in him. Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So what is your treasure? I pray that for each of us, that our treasure will be Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we just thank you for your word. Forgive us, Lord, when we long for the things of this earth more than we long for you. Even though you're offering us yourself, a treasure that nothing in this world can compare to, yet, Lord, sometimes we don't see it as being very valuable. And we forget, Lord, what we've received in Christ. Forgive us, Lord. And we just pray that you might change our heart, fill us with your Spirit, show us other things in our life that we're holding on to that's competing with you in our lives. And we just pray that each of us might be willing to make some changes to put you first. Thank you for loving us so much. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.